Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we'll be reading verses 16 through 20. If you'll help me on verses 17 and 19 this morning. Once you've found Matthew chapter 28, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let's pray. Again, God, it's so good to be able to come to your house. And Lord, my heart's already full to be able to sing about how amazing, how wonderful of a God you really are. And God, to be able to hear from your man of God this morning, from your book, I pray that our hearts would be in tune to what you have for us. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let His mind be in me, a servant as Your Son. And let His heart be my heart, to see a lost world won. His mind, Lord, make it mine, His road I'll follow. His life shall be my life. Oh, may His life be my life. Oh, let His way be my way, obeying Your command.
And may my journey prosper in near or distant land.
All that is life be my life, to follow You each day. And may His joy be my joy, with Christ along the way.
Good song this morning. I want to speak from this passage. You know it as the Great Commission pretty much. I've added a couple of verses 16 and 17. And I want to speak on the subject of our primary responsibility. And we're just, I'm coming to kind of close out the missions conference emphasis that we've been in now for a couple of weeks. However, the work of missions is never closed out. It's ongoing, as I said earlier. But let's pray together. We're going to preach a little bit on our primary responsibility, okay? So, Father, we bow before You again this morning, not out of ritual or some type of, this is just a last little bit here before we preach to say we need Your help, to say, God, publicly that there's nothing within me or in any of us that could help us as far as our flesh goes. But I pray Your Holy Spirit will work through the Word this morning and that He'll have access to our hearts and our minds. And He'll be able to do a work in us that will accomplish something for Your glory. So that's my prayer. Use me, I pray. I want to speak as just, Lord, Your tool today, Your messenger. So be with me. Everything goes on in these next few minutes, and we'll thank You in Christ's name. And amen. There was a special atmosphere to this missions conference. It was, to me, I told a couple of people, it was just one of warmth. there was no really defining dynamic moment that reached out and, you know, grabbed your heart or grabbed your emotions. These men were common, down-to-earth, dedicated servants of God. All of them, I believe, will go. I believe they will stay. I told Brother Jones, I said, Brother Jones, you're the third missionary we've taken on to Hawaii. Please stay. Please stay. None of the other two have stayed. And I think he will. There's more to that man than meets the eye, I'll promise you. You need to get the message he preached on Wednesday morning. That's one of the finest messages for people whose kids grow up in church. That was one of the greatest messages. The danger of growing up close to Christ. Boy, that was powerful. And, you know, Mark doesn't look kind of, you know, just kind of old country boy, you know. But, man, it was a great message. And I believe they'll go. I believe they'll stick with it. I believe they'll plod along, and I believe they'll get the job done. They seem to have that characteristic about their lives. And to me, it was just, it was a conference. My heart was just warmed. It was just warmed from the messages and the fellowship. It was a very enjoyable meeting. It was not well attended. I was a little bit disappointed, but I tried to keep my disappointment in check because I know the sickness was going through the church, going through the nursery. I appreciate those of you mothers who battled through it, those of you who wanted to come and didn't because your kids were contagious. The balcony was kind of like the third nursery in our church on those nights. And I had my own grandchildren up there, and that's why I haven't shaken hands with some of you today. They still have kind of been sick, some of them, so I'm trying to be careful about passing on anything. And I forgot Brother DeVries and shook your hand, so you are infected, brother. Amen. So down here a minute ago. But anyway, I appreciate those of you that battled through it. I know it was a struggle. And like one mother said, I don't know what to do. You know, my child has a couple of spots. I want to come. And I appreciate, you know, I'm glad it was a struggle. I'm glad if you kept the kids home that it wasn't easy. Okay? And it was not well attended. Now, if you don't have kids and you don't have children at home, you didn't come. I don't know why you don't come. I don't know why you don't come. But anyway, I thought about fussing at you this morning. But I'm not going to fuss. I know. What's the use in it, you know? I just say this. I make two or three times the most important meeting in our calendar year. I guess it just in one ear and out the other. Don't mean anything. I don't know. I don't get that. But anyway, it was not well attended. It was pretty thin. And I know the sickness had a lot to do with that. I know it did. And so I'm not going to go crazy this morning. But anyway, beyond all that, it was a blessing. Now, why do we have a missions conference? Why do we have a missions program? Why do we have these servants of God and others throughout the year come along? Malucci was here the Wednesday night before that. And, you know, why do we have these men and women come through with their families and keep it before the church all year round? Why have some of the people who used to sit in these pews left their homes in America and moved to distant countries to live? Why? Why all of that? All because of the passage we just read. You sum it up right here. Matthew 28:16-20. And similar passages in Mark chapter 16 and Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 20 and Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 13. This is known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Jesus has died. He has been buried. He's risen. He's shown Himself alive for 40 days. And He was ready to ascend back to heaven and take His seat at the right hand of the very throne of God. But before His feet would leave the ground, He gives His followers, He gives His disciples one last command. Right before He ascends. And here it have it in verses 19 and 20. Go, teach, baptize, teach. The word teach in verse 19, the word teach in verse 20. Two different kinds of teaching. Actually, that word in verse number 19, teach. Go, win, baptize, teach. Go, win, baptize, teach. Go, win, baptize, teach. That first reference in chapter 9, verse 19, is a reference to the presentation of the gospel. You know what Jesus is saying here? Here's what I want you to do. Go make more followers of me. That's what he said. Go make more followers of me. Ho, ho, ho. He did not say, just go get them saved. He said, go make more followers. of me. Go, win them, baptize them, and teach them. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Who's the you? The disciples, the followers of Christ. Go make more followers. Go make more disciples. Folks, our responsibility is not just to gather a crowd at the corner of Mooney and Armour. Our responsibility is bigger than that. Our responsibility is to make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. His last words should be our primary responsibility. His last words are our primary responsibility. If you want to acknowledge it or not, doesn't change the fact that His last words, they're our primary responsibility. Now, Christian fellowship is rich and helpful, and I enjoy it. I love being with God's people, but it is not our primary primary responsibility. Worship is enriching as well. It's hard to find anything more heartwarming than a good time. This morning, my heart has been blessed. My heart is full. We've sung these songs. I'm sorry, but I didn't sing to you. I didn't sing for you. I sang to Him and I sang for Him. That's why it was easy to sing "Suffer a Sinner." If it wouldn't cause people just to, you know, I would just "Suffer a Sinner whose heart overflows, loving His Savior to tell what He knows." But people would go nuts. What is he doing? Was he lost his mind? But that's part of worship, and I love it. And it blesses my heart, and I enjoy it. But it is not our primary responsibility as a church. Learning the Word of God is one of our duties. A better understanding of the Scripture and passing on the knowledge we get to others is very helpful and good. But it is not our primary responsibility. What's the primary responsibility? What did Christ say? He said, "Go and make followers of Me." Go and make followers of Me. Folks, let's think for a minute. If we were saved, if our primary responsibility was to fellowship, what would be the best place to do that? No. The best place to fellowship would be in heaven. Right? You know why? Nobody would be ugly to anybody. Everybody would speak to everybody else. You wouldn't have somebody in this section not talking to somebody. If we're saved for the primary responsibility of fellowship, then let's just go to heaven and fellowship. If we are saved for the primary responsibility of worship, what better place to worship than heaven? Now, we can worship here. But don't you think our worship will be enhanced in heaven? When we see the Lord Jesus Christ? And all those saints of ages past gathered around His throne, and one day we'll be there. If we were saved to know, to learn, to understand, what better place than heaven? Where God Himself would teach us. You know, people say, "Well, I enjoy hearing Pastor Angel preach." Well, I appreciate that, but I'll tell you something. There's the one that can do a whole lot better job than Terry Angel. In fact, there's a whole bunch that do a lot better job than me. The one for sure is the Lord Himself. So if we're to know, and if that's our primary responsibility, let's just go to heaven and sit at His feet, where you and I would have perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge. But if we are saved to make followers of Christ, what better place to do that than right here on earth, where the greater percentage of 7+ billion people are blindly stumbling on their way to hell. They are not following Christ. They are following false Christ or their own godless imaginations or the gods of their own making, or they are following the God of this. Ultimately, they're following the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, Satan himself. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are we? Are we in heaven or are we on earth? Well, three people know we're on earth. I guess they got secondary learning. I don't know. Where are we? Earth. Well, if the best place to worship and the best place to, you know, sing and the best place to fellowship and the best place to learn knowledge is up there, but we're here, this is the best place to do what? Make followers of Christ? Hey, we won't make any followers of Christ in heaven. that'll all be done. We're here, folks. You know why? Our primary responsibility is to make followers of Christ. Now, I want to talk this morning. That's why we have a missions conference, why we have a missions program, why we have missionary families come through, why we send missionary families out. You know, think about those people whose names are on that portion of the wall out there. Think about what if they were here? Would that help us? Some of those people out there, that the families that used to sit here, that would help our church ministry right here. But they're not here. They're there. Now, why? Because of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is essential when it comes to obeying this commission? What's essential? Let me give you three words this morning. Number one is the word availability. Availability. Maybe not something you think about when you hear the subject of the Great Commission. But look at verse number 16 with me this morning. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. The disciples went into Galilee to a mountain where Jesus told them, "Meet me there." Can I say something just so elementary? If they hadn't been available to meet him there, it'd be a hard time carrying out the Great Commission. They were available. Now, they went to that place. I think some of them went with Jesus there because Luke's gospel says that Jesus led them to a place. So some went and some went with Jesus himself. But they were available. If they had not been there, they never would have heard his voice. If they hadn't been there, they wouldn't have heard his words. If they had not been there, they would not have witnessed his sincerity. But they were available. You've heard it said, the greatest ability is availability. Availability. Are you available for the work of the Great Commission? Now, don't jump to conclusions. I can't leave. I'm not. No. Not everybody's supposed to leave. Not everybody's supposed to go. Are you available for the work of the Great Commission? It's amazing how available we are for everything and anything but our primary responsibility. Fellowship. Oh, we're available for that. Man, let's meet here, let's meet there, let's have a cookout, let's go out to eat, let's play this, let's have some games, let's play golf, let's have a party, let's have some fun, let's fellowship. Hey, anything wrong with any of those things? Nope. They're all good, aren't they? They're all good. Nothing wrong with that. Let's worship. Let's get together and just sing the great hymns of the faith and let the choir sing, "I Believe the Gospel." I nearly came out of my seat this morning. The songs we've heard this morning, the songs we've sung, let's get together and sing. And I promise you, man, some people even go and pay for a ticket to be a part of a singing. Now, I'm not against all of them. Some of them I am. Knowledge. Have Brother Hiltonbiddle in. The place is full. And nothing, I mean, boy, nothing keeps anybody away. Because, yeah, man, we're learning the Bible. Anything wrong with... I love Brother Hiltonbiddle. We'll have him back. That was helpful. But you have an organized time to reach people or make followers of Christ and to meet together as a church to hear preaching about missions and nighttime need to spread the gospel, and all of a sudden we're not available. We're not available. Not nearly as much for other things that are not the primary responsibility. That's right. You can take a breath. It's okay. Amen. That's true. It's true. We have time for everything, and they're not bad things. They're good things. But we don't have much time for the primary response. Now look, friend, hey, you can run from this. You can shrug off, bug out of missions conference because you don't want to hear it. You can run, but you can't hide from this. You may not pay the Great Commission any attention at all, but I'm telling you, you're not off the hook. you can decide. But God doesn't take that attitude. I guess it's because it kind of, the message of the Great Commission kind of involves the fact that His Son died. You think that makes matters important? When you give your only begotten Son to die? So you can shrug it off. You say, well, that's just not for me. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not off the hook. Because truth of the matter is, Faith Baptist Church, and I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about us. It's our primary responsibility. Make followers of Christ. Make followers of Christ. That's our primary responsibility. So when you boil the primary responsibility of the Great Commission down to all of the elements that are needed, age is not a hindrance and health is not a hindrance. See, that's what attitudes that people take. Well, I can't be involved because I am too old. No, you're perfect right where you are because you can pray. You can pray. I'll tell you what we need. On Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock and Tuesday afternoon at 3:20 and Tuesday night at 5:30, we need folks who can't physically go out into the community and hand out things, taking a few minutes at 5:30, 10 o'clock, 3:20 to pray and say, God bless the people who are going. We need 9:30 Saturday morning, God bless bless the bus workers. Sometimes Brother Payne asks for prayer for the jail service on Friday night. Well, I can't go to the jail. You know what? I can't go to the jail either, but I can ask the Lord to bless the service. And they had a good service Friday night. They had 8 fellows there, 2 new ones, and three of the men professed Christ as their Savior in the service on Friday night. Now, that's just the beginning. Make followers of Christ. Because, folks, listen to how it works. Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. Planting and watering are two different things. Two different things. Some go to mission fields like Panama and Mexico and Australia, and some others stay in America and they give. Because it all works together. Because the Great Commission is our, not mine. Yes, it is. Our primary responsibility. Our. All of ours, not just the pastors, not just a select handful of people. It's all, we all work together. We go in this area and we send others in areas where we can't go. And, you know, well, I can only give a couple bucks. Look, I would rather you drop $2 a week in the plate than sit and do nothing. Because it's our responsibility. Did you hear anything about a specific amount of money being mentioned from this pulpit that you're supposed to give? Has anybody heard anything like that the last 2 weeks? No. That's between you and God. Now, before you jump to conclusions, I will tell you that there are people here who see this as vitally important, and they sacrifice to missions. And I think it shows our responsibility. I am not down on you. Some of you, I don't want you going out having a heart attack on Blaine Avenue. Us calling 911. What are you doing? I'm out visiting for the church because Pastor Angel said I had to go. No, I didn't. Stay home. But you, while you're home, you can say, God bless them. God help them. It's called availability. I ask again, fair question, I'm not being ugly, are you available for the responsibility of the Great Commission? Are you available? Because that's the first essential, is availability. Number two, let's move on here, is entirety. Entirety, and that's verses 19 and 20, where Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, so forth and so on. We read them already, so we'll get there just a minute again. There is a process that Jesus gave in these verses, that needs to be followed in its entirety if followers of Christ are made. Now I want you to see verse number 19. Look at it there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What is the word that follows teach all nations? baptizing. Now, because that phrase, teach all nations, precedes the word baptizing, we know that this is a reference to what? The gospel. This is a reference to salvation. Go and teach all nations salvation. Here's how Luke's gospel said it in chapter 24, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. You say, what is to be preached among all nations? Exactly what Peter preached in Acts chapter 4. Peter was there when Jesus said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. So Peter preached in Acts 4 and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The first element in the entirety of the Great Commission is salvation. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're saved? Not everybody that comes through the door of a church is saved. Are you saved? Well, I was baptized. No, we're not. That's whoa. That's not what we're talking about. Well, I joined a church. No, that's okay. No, that salvation is your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I believe the gospel. There it is. I believe He died. I believe He was buried. I believe He rose again. I believe that He paid for my salvation through His death, burial, and resurrection. And I receive Him now, what He did for me, as full payment for my sin debt. That's salvation. Have you been saved? You know, Mark Jones said, one of the dangers of growing up close to Christ is just believing that you're saved because all your life you've heard about Jesus. Have you had a head-on collision with the Spirit of God where He put your heart under conviction, pointed you to Jesus Christ, and by faith you trusted Christ as your Savior? That's the first part of this entirety. But it doesn't stop there. The next word is the word baptizing them. Baptism does not save. The water of that baptistry tank does not wash your sins away. The blood of Christ washes your sins away. It is an act of obedience that identifies a person with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who get saved should willingly get baptized. The young man that was saved after church here last Sunday night? Yeah. Met me at the door this morning and he said, man, I'm getting baptized today. That's the attitude of a believer. Saved, now I'm going to get baptized. And that's an important step, folks. And people who carry out the Great Commission should be serious about converts getting baptized. Yes, it's most important that they get saved, but after that, it is extremely important that they get baptized. Well, I don't understand. Well, we don't have to understand because this is what He said. That ought to be good enough. Baptize them. That's why in the bus ministry, from time to time, you'll see the curtains open. You'll see a child up here who has been saved in junior church, rode in one of the buses, and our bus workers take those cards and go back to the parents and explain baptism to them. And we encourage them to follow the Lord and believe it. Why do you baptize those children? Because Christ said to baptize. Well, you just like to run your... What numbers? Does anybody here know how many folks were baptized here last year? Guess what? I don't. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is doing what Jesus said to do. And I'm not against people who count. Brother Coral comes here. He used to come here before we had the conference. He used to come here and say, we'd have big days, invite people in, a lot of people saved and baptized. He'd put that in the paper. That's okay. That's his business. I don't care. That's fine. But this is what Christ said to do. You don't just win them to the Lord and then run back and talk about, well, I got me another convert. Like another notch on your gun belt. Okay? You baptize them. You baptize, and then after that, it goes a step further. He says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe. That's discipling. Man, I was thrilled this morning. There were seven students in our discipleship class, and two that were used there, well, actually six, because one of them's already been through it. So we have about six or seven adults right now. We got people that are waiting for a lesson here or a lesson there to finish their discipleship class. That's what the discipleship class, that's what church services are all about. Mentoring, teaching, discipling. Because Jesus said, hey, it's more than just getting them saved, and it's more than just getting them baptized so you can put it in somebody's paper. To make followers of me, you have to teach them. You got to teach them. Got to teach them. You can't teach them if they're not here. Can't teach the ones that don't come to Sunday school. Can't teach them. I understand people used to do things, don't. They quit. Drop out of Sunday school, drop out of this, drop out of missions. Remember, you used to come to missions conference, you don't. Just gave it up. Maybe you had sick kids. I'm not going there. Okay, it's between you and God. But make this, folks, the Great Commission is not about some shining sword stuck on the wall that this assembly had this many people who prayed to receive Christ. I'm not against that. I'm not against it. But the Great Commission is making followers of Christ. You win them, you baptize them, you teach them. That's the Great Commission. That's why mission, the bulk of our mission support goes to men who are starting churches. Because that's where the discipling takes place. That's where the baptizing takes place. In a local church. Baptism, you don't just run out in the street, lead somebody to Christ, take them to a pond and dunk them. That ordinance was given to the church. Men like Bill Graham, when he goes to the Philippines, when he goes to Madagascar, when he goes to Israel, he takes his work to the local church over there. Works through the church. That's part of the Great Commission, okay? In its entirety. Its entirety. Its completeness. Its thorough. When I look back at how I became a follower of Christ, and I don't claim to be a great one, but I do believe I have tried to follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the last almost 41 years now. I got saved, but as I told my class this morning, it was more than just getting saved. I got in church where they taught and preached. And that teaching and preaching and instruction spoke to my heart, and I became a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. All right? It's getting them saved, baptizing them, and teaching them. You say, yeah, Pastor, but man, here I am again. I can't go and I can't teach. But your prayer, your attendance, your participation, all of that plays a part in the whole picture of what makes up a church. It all does. Availability, entirety. Let me give you the last word this morning. Is the word obedience. The word obedience. You got Matthew, turn over to Mark chapter 16. Turn over to Mark chapter 16, okay? Mark chapter 16. And I appreciate your listening this morning. A lot of times you preach on this type of subject, there's just resistance. And there's a little bit this morning. I always feel a little bit of resistance. But that's okay. You have to plow ahead through the resistance. Amen. You know, when the old farmer's out there plowing his field and he hits that hard ground, what does he do? He just turns up the RPMs and keeps her going, right? I'm going to break right through it. So that's what I'm trying to do. Now, obedience. Look at Mark chapter 16. We're talking about the same time period here. Jesus has given them the Great Commission. Look at verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now drop down to verse 19. So He's given them the Great Commission. Matthew didn't put this in, but Mark did. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. know what they did? They obeyed. They took the Lord Jesus seriously. So, Jesus told them what to do. Here's your primary responsibility. Go forth, teach all nations, baptize, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Whoa. He's gone. And Mark doesn't record this, but Acts does, that the two men in white apparel showed up and said, why are you gazing up into heaven? He said, go. Scat. Get out of here. So they got some tracts. And they got their New Testaments. I'm joking. And they went everywhere. Doing what he told them to do. Preaching the word. And God was with them. And they began to make followers of Jesus Christ. Out of simple obedience. People, that's our primary responsibility. Everybody has a part. Going, sowing, watering, praying, going overseas, giving so those can go overseas. Our primary responsibility ought to be the top priority. Making followers of Christ. There's a preacher who lived back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was S.D. Gordon. He was influenced by D.L. Moody. He was very influential in the area of Philadelphia through the Young Men's Christians Association, YMCA. That used to be a gospel preaching organization. Okay, that's how it was started. He wrote a bunch of books called Quiet Talks. One of his Quiet Talks books is Quiet Talks with World Winners. Talking about people who take the Great Commission seriously. And in this chapter 2 of this book, the title of the chapter is World Winning - The Master's Plan. And chapter 2 is about the Great Commission. And how that the Great Commission that Jesus gave is our primary responsibility. And he told this story. He said there were a group of mountain climbers over in Switzerland that had come together to climb. They weren't all together, but they met there to climb Mount Blanc, the highest mountain in the Alps. We had the privilege of seeing the Alps. When Ben and Ashley were in Albertville, France, we had the privilege of driving through them, through the French Alps into Italy. They are beautiful. Probably the most pretty place I've ever been on there. Mount Blanc, the highest Alp. And so they got there and they gathered all the people who were there to climb the mountain. And they gathered them all together and they said, now look, all you climbers, your outfit, your gear, must be reduced to the lowest limit if you're going to reach the top. Or the climb will be impossible. If you try to take a lot of stuff, your outfit must be at the lowest limit, your gear. If you want to reach the top, you've got to take only what's necessary. So one climber, they divided the group people up into two groups, and one climber in one of the groups, he just disregarded what the guide said. And he got a nice blanket, and he got his camera, and he got some notebooks, and he got some snacks. And he took some extra drinks. And they're watching him. And they're thinking, but they said, you know what? Let him go. He was in the first group that ascended the mount. The second group followed later. And S.D. Gordon said that the people in that second group got to their first station where they would spend overnight, and they saw the man's camera and notebooks. They went a little further up to the next station. There was his blanket and some of his drinks. They went a little further, and here was more of his stuff. When they finally got to the top of that mountain, which is not impossible to climb, but it's a challenge, there he was, sitting there with only that which was necessary All the other stuff was left behind. And S.G. Gordon, he said this. He said, most of us, when we find that we can't reach the top with all of our stuff, we forget about the top and keep our stuff. He said, the church is like a plane full of tents where people have considered their stuff more important than the top. If you're going to reach the top, you got to let some stuff go. Listen. If you're going to be a part of the Great Commission, you'll never do it hanging on to all your stuff. Some stuff's got to be left behind. Or you're going to be a plains dweller. I have said, and I'm done, I am no thriving example of a soul winner or a gospel witness. But I have followed Christ in the Great Commission. I give out tracts. I witness to people. And I give to missions and I pray for missionaries. Some stuff's got to be left behind if you're going to reach the top. But that's got to be your primary responsibility, or you're not going to get there. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. So let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. God and Heavenly Father, your book is so wonderful, it's rich. Would you please speak to our hearts this morning? Would you please move in this room in the hearts of your people here? And would you help us not to be content to be plains dwellers, living in tents with our stuff? God, help us to reach the top, making the Great Commission a priority and our primary responsibility, and being available in its entirety. And being obedient, however we can. Would you please help us this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God challenged my heart. I don't want to dwell in the plains and tents. I want to reach that mountain. I want to be a part of the primary responsibility of the Great Commission. Doing what I can. Going, sowing, planting, watering, praying, giving. I don't want to be a tent dweller in the plains. I want to participate. I want to make it a primary responsibility. Be a part of it. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning? All over the church, God bless you. I thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. Let me ask this question today. Would there be anybody here who would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know you. I heard you talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and being born again and being saved. And I don't know that I'm saved. I thought baptism saved you. I thought going to church saved you. But I don't know. I'm not sure that if I died right now, where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? I'll pray for you this morning. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, just slip it up real quick. Up and down. I'll see it. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? God bless you. We'll pray for you in just a moment. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved, Pastor. I always thought being a part of a church or a baptizing or something else. No. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Anybody this morning? Now, if you're here this morning, you've been saved, you came to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, now's the time for you to come. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can come on now. We'll get things ready to go. If you need to be baptized, you can see one of these men down here. They'll explain that to you, and we can talk with you further about it. This is the time of invitation. It's the time when the Spirit of God has spoken to hearts. If He's spoken to your heart this morning, here's what an invitation is. It's an opportunity to step forward. And if you don't need to talk with one of the men, just pray and seek the Lord. And say, Lord, you spoke to me about this, and I want to be a part of the Great Commission. Maybe I can't go door to door, but I can pray. I can't go over to Hawaii, but I can give. I can't go to Mexico, but I can give. I can be a part of this. I want to be. Make that choice this morning. If you need to be saved, if you're not sure you're saved, you come right away to one of these fellows and say, I don't know if I'm saved. They'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. This morning. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. It's invitation time. Would you come? Would you be a part of the invitation this morning? Would you respond? the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, would you let Him lead you to Christ? Would you do that this morning? Just say to the person next to you, I need to slip out. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't, just let me go. Just let me get by. Would you come? The Spirit of God speaking to you. Please, now's the time. Oh my goodness, please. Don't say no. Would you come? Would you come? That's the invitation. Would you come? While these are praying.